Hello, we want to welcome all of you to our Wednesday evening Bible study. This week we are in Genesis chapter 5. Now, this is one of those chapters. This is where we have all the listing of the different genealogies and the people that live for long years. And sometimes people will read this and they'll make jokes about how boring it is and how you can recite this when you need to go to sleep and that sort of thing. But there is a lot here to look at, and we're going to try to bring this out. So we're going to start reading in chapter 5, and then we'll go back to chapter 4 a little bit just to clear things up a little bit. So he says, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them, and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. And after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. Now, here's the thing. Remember last week we were studying the story of Cain and Abel. And then we found out there at the end of chapter 4, verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. Okay, so Seth was a replacement for Abel. Now, notice that it says that Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born. Remember that God had given them the commandment, Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply. So, again, the other thing you have to remember is that Adam and Eve were created mature human beings. They weren't born. They didn't have to be raised from babies. They were created mature in every way. And so They may have had Cain, you know, after a year or so from when they were created. And maybe they had Abel the year after that. We don't know. But it's very likely that at least 120 years went by with Cain and Abel being alive all that time before Seth was born. So that leads me to believe that Cain and Abel more than likely had to give offerings and sacrifices many, many, many times. That's why God told Cain back in here, he says, why are you angry? If you do well, will you not be accepted? In other words, he's saying, Cain, you know what you're supposed to do. You know, You've done it many times. You know what you're supposed to do. Go over and get, you know, one of the flock from Abel and you know, bring it over and sacrifice it. But for whatever reason, Cain decided this one time, maybe he had a really great crop that year and he had something that was really great and his pride got the best of him. And he wanted to bring, you know, a work from his hand, from his garden. But the other thing to remember is, remember when we talked about last week where Cain is given his sentence for what he did and he's crying around and he says, I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And people say, well, who was anyone? You see, we make a huge mistake when we think that Seth was the third baby born. Because I guarantee you, if God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, they wouldn't wait 120 years. The reason that Seth was born and the reason that he's brought out here is because he was a replacement for Abel because Abel had just died. Okay, so Abel probably didn't die until that same year and then Eve, or maybe the year before, and then Eve gets pregnant again. She says, oh, now I'm going to have a replacement for Abel. But who knows how many kids they had in 120 years. They could have had children there would have been time for their children to have children and their children to have children and their children to have children during those 120 years. And so by the time that, now see, Cain got his punishment and then he left, he was banished. Abel has already died. I mean, Eve could have been pregnant with Seth about the same time that Cain is going out to this other land, the land of Nod, and it said there was a people group there. He found a wife. So by the time all this happened, there could have been plenty of people on the earth at that time.
And do you think they just named these people that they're naming is because that's all they needed to name?
That was the ones that were important. That was the ones. There's a huge reason that they singled out
yes,
Seth.
There has to be a reason.
Then there is a reason why they singled out Seth. And
even Cain and Abel, they singled
yes,
out.
Yes, yes. Now, I do believe that Cain was the first baby born and Abel was the second baby born. But then we don't hear any more about all these others. It skips all those years and then Seth is a replacement. And of course, it was very important, the story of Cain killing Abel. That was something that we needed to know. That was a very important story. So Moses brings that out. So again, why was Seth's genealogy so important? Well, Seth's line goes to Noah, okay? And I'm just going to just go into chapter 6 long enough to tell you that it says in chapter 6 that Noah was perfect in his generations. Mm-hmm. If you had the King James Version or even the New King James, mm-hmm. probably says that. Perfect in his generations. There was an issue. Remember back in Genesis 3 when God told Satan, the seed of the woman is going to crush your head.
That's for Jesus.
Satan was trying to prevent that from happening. We'll get into that next week. We're going to talk about that. But that was one reason. And the other thing you have to remember is that this is not the only genealogy we're looking at. We don't know how many people were on the earth by the time this happened. So Adam and Eve had all these children, and their children had children and so forth. There could have been hundreds of genealogies just like this one. But this is the one that's important. They didn't write all those other ones down. But Moses wrote this one down because it was so important. And one reason is, that Terry just mentioned briefly there, that also another good reason is it leads to Christ. It's one that leads to Christ. It goes to Noah, and then we have the flood, and then the genealogy continues there in Luke, and it leads to Christ. So that's why this is so important. But the thing you have to remember, for instance, it says here that Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. And I think Jared was 962. And people say, oh, Methuselah was the oldest man ever lived. We don't know that.
He was, according to
this part. He was in this particular genealogy, he was. Biblically, yes, he was. But at the same time, there were all these other people, and they had genealogies too. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to notice here, it says Enoch there in verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and he was not.
Yeah.
For God took him. Mm-hmm. Now, in chapter 6, it says in verse 5, then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, Enoch walked with God. God loved Enoch. They had a deep, intimate relationship. And he goes, you know what, Enoch? I'm not going to leave you down here in this cesspool any longer. I mean, everybody is evil. Everybody is wicked. I don't want you to have to put up with this. So he just takes him. He doesn't have to die. He just translates him. Mm-hmm. That is a type of rapture of the church. That is a foreshadowing of the rapture of the church. And as our world gets worse and worse and more wicked, God's going to say, I'm not going to leave you people down here any longer. I'm going to get you out of this mess. Just like he took Enoch out.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same type situation. So let me go ahead and read these scriptures, starting in 6 there. Seth lived 105 years and begat Enosh. And after he begat Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. We're going to see here where the average is over 900. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he got Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. So he missed 900. He only had 895. Okay. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. So he would have been the second oldest in this genealogy. Enoch lived, and I read that, but we'll read it again. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. By the way, he died the year of the flood. Okay. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, Marcella and I, in our study Bibles, there's a little chart that says the ages of the patriarchs. And it's these little dots, and it shows how old they were, and then it shows the time of the flood, and then it shows how the ages start going down, how the lifespans start getting shorter the further away from you get after the flood. And there's lots of people who have theories, like why did the lifespans slowly, I mean, they didn't get shorter right away. It was just slow, you know, 700 and 500 and 300, then they lived to be. Abraham was 175 and Joseph was 110 and eventually went down to pretty much what we have today. One of the theories is the environmental theory. They say that the flood changed everything. There was less oxygen in the air after that. Some people say there was a water canopy before the flood. Others don't. But some people say there was a canopy that broke when all the rain came down, and that canopy had been protecting people from the UV rays of the sun, and now it wasn't there, and so the sun was making people age faster and that sort of thing. The other theory is that after the flood, mutations in the DNA started multiplying because of the effect of the different environment. It caused, maybe it was the sun's rays, but anyway, it caused mutations. And
can you explain a little bit about a mutation?
A mutation is a copying error in the DNA. Your DNA...
An error.
The DNA copies itself all the time because cells die and they have to be replenished. And if the copy is not perfect, if there's a mistake in there, then the instructions get skewed and things start messing up. And
how you get it deformed?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's why relatives shouldn't marry relatives.
Exactly. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So... from what I've read from people who study genetics, with each succeeding generation, nowadays we have about 100 more mutations. And when you think about it, you go back and you see kids today, there's a lot more kids today that have asthma and allergies than there was 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of other things too that we can see these mutations start adding up. Now, out of those 100, every single one of them doesn't cause a problem. But when you start adding them up, maybe six or seven in the wrong place can start causing a problem. So 100 per generation is a lot. But back then, Adam and Eve were created perfect. And so it took a long time for the mutations to start causing problems. I mean, these people were perfect in every way. And so after sin crept in, then there was just a few mutations started sneaking in a little bit and finally started causing a few issues. The reason I think that's the correct theory is because of Noah. Here's why. Noah was 500 years old when the flood came. And Noah, let's see, where does it say? I know Noah wound up, yeah, there it is, 950. He wound up 950. So he lived for 450 more years after the flood, and he was already 500. So apparently the environment didn't affect Noah. Okay? But that's why I think his DNA was not messed up. Hardly at all. I mean, a little bit, or else you'd live forever. You know, he was a little bit. But the others, after we get past the time of the flood, you start seeing DNA.
Where's the other 450?
Well, Noah lived to be 950, yeah, and he was 500 at the time of the flood. So you take 950 minus 500, you get 450.
Yeah, where do you get that at? Where do you see that? In Scripture.
It's in the Scripture. I'm looking at the chart.
Oh, I see.
But it is in the Scripture. You'd have to go and find where it was that Noah died. Let's see. Noah and his sons. It's there somewhere.
Yeah, 7-6.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, it's...
Noah was 500 years old and not.
Chapter 9, verse 29. Actually, 28. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. That doesn't make sense. So all the days of Noah were 950 years and he died. Where does it say 500 years? Well, my bad. It says Noah was 500 years when he had Noah, Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He was 600 at the time of the flood. So Noah was 600 at the time of the flood. He lived 350 more years, and he died in chapter 9, verse 29. He was 950 years old. So that's why. So he lived another 350 years.
Okay.
I saw that 500, and I thought that was time of flood. So Shem, Ham, and Japheth must have each been 100 years old when the flood hit, because he was 500 when they were born. So, and that's another thing about Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They might have been triplets. The way it, well, it says he was 500 when he begot
father,
them.
Yeah,
he was the same age when he begot them. So they may have been triplets. Let's see if there was anything else I wanted to. Let's see. Okay, that's everything that I wanted to point out. But again, the thing about Scripture is that there are certain things that we absolutely know, and then there are certain things that we can figure out, and then there are certain things that some people assume that aren't correct. Like to assume that Seth was the third child born does not make any sense. Why would Adam and Eve wait 130 years, you know, or 120 some years at least, to have that third child, when they were told to be fruitful, multiply? And if you think that Seth was the third child, then who was anyone? And why was Cain afraid to go out there, afraid that people would avenge him because of his murder, if there was no one there? And so we know then that Adam and Eve had to have had other children, lots of other children.
In between Seth, you mean?
Yes, and in between
after the
time that Cain and Abel were small, growing up, and they would have both been over 120 when this incident occurred, when Cain killed him. For all we know, Abel may have had children. It doesn't say he didn't, you know, but he may have in that length of time.
Abel?
Yes, it's possible. We're not
Matthew 23:35 that says he fathered a son.
Enosh.
And men began to call on the name of the Lord.
That was Seth.
That was
Seth.
Seth.
Seth. Yes, not, yeah, Abel, not Abel. Yeah. We don't know about Abel. And but notice also it says there in verse chapter 5, verse, where is 4? Yeah. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So he also had them after he had Seth. So some people think there was a whole bunch of people in the third by the time of the flood. Now, most people say it was about 1,556 years from creation that the flood hit. 1,556, close to 1,600 years that the flood hit after creation. Remember, and here's the other thing you have to remember. These people were living on average 900 years. Now, a woman today pretty much quits having children around midlife, 40, 45, she might live to be 80. Well, if they were living to be 900 or 950, a woman might have a child at 450 years old. You see, that would be midlife to them, proportionally speaking. One woman could have hundreds of children, literally hundreds of children. And the fact that they were almost perfect, you know, they might have been able to have children rather easily.
What are you giggling? What's so fun?
I went to school with a lady, with a girl who had 10 brothers and sisters, you know, and her mother had one every year, you know, during her childbearing years.
One every 2 years.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And so you take a woman who lives to be 900, she could have children from the time she is 20 or 30 all the way till she's 450 years old.
That's hard to count.
Yeah. It is hard to comprehend.
Because I've heard people say, "Oh, they did that. They did this." People back then, they didn't live that. That's just, they didn't live to be that old. I said, "Yeah, they did."
Yeah.
No, they didn't. You don't. Yeah, I said, "Well."
And not only that, but there's other literature from way back in the day that also talks about people living long lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the Egyptians even had records talking about people living thousands of years, but they tended to exaggerate everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they like 10,000 years. This guy lived 10,000, you know.
Yeah.
And but they did exaggerate. But where'd they get that idea? Probably from the fact that people were really living long lives. And so the people in these other genealogies, there's no reason to believe they weren't living long lives too.
Right.
You know, Adam and Eve's other children, they had their own descendants, you know. And they would have all lived long lives. I think that everybody in that time before the flood lived long lives.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was the fact their DNA was almost pure, or whether it was the fact the environment was better,
maybe,
or maybe both factors.
Yeah.
It could have been the environment triggered the mutations, you know, in the DNA. But for whatever reason, they just started slowly getting worse to what we have today.
So Moses lived to be 120. Is it recorded that anybody else lived to be 120 after that? Do you know?
Moses? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
the interesting know. Thing about Moses was it said that God just like caused him to die and then just took him.
Yeah.
It said that he hadn't really aged any. It said he was still, you know, in really good shape and good health. That was interesting.
But I was just wondering, he was 120. I don't remember reading anybody else after that lived. It doesn't give a date. It doesn't give how old they were.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they did Joseph, but that would have been 400 years before Moses. I off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone where they really talked about people's ages after Moses. But anyway, I mean, this chapter has a lot more in it than just, you know, talking about how old they were when they had this particular child and how long they lived after that. And they had other sons and daughters. There's a lot more to it than that, especially in that first part.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing you have to take away from this is that there would have been a lot more genealogies, but for different reasons, and one we'll find out next week, this is the one that God wanted put in there. And of course, one reason is that Jesus Christ is going to come from it. The other has to do with the seed of the woman. And we'll find out about that next week. So let's go ahead and have prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this lesson today. It does lead into next week's chapter. This is very important that we understand this. It really clears a lot of things up. And the scriptures come alive for us, dear Lord, when we actually get the interpretation that your Holy Spirit would like for us to have. And we just pray that we can grasp this and understand it, and it can be very helpful and encouraging to us. In Jesus' name, amen.